أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. In today's khutbah, I would like to talk about the important challenge during our time, and that is the issue of peer pressure. This is not only for the youths, but for the people in general of all generations, because people are influenced by the environment in which they live and the company that they keep. These are the influences which come in, and more so when we live as a minority in a non-Muslim society. And so we have to be aware of it, and we cannot ignore that there would be issues of influence in form of peer pressure which are not in line with the values of our faith. Sometimes we can even get influenced by certain Muslim groups who have totally abandoned all Islamic rituals and norms and have blended totally with non-Muslims. There are some naive people among us who look at that example of Muslims who have totally abandoned Islamic rituals and blended totally into the with non-Muslims, they say, that is the example we have to follow if we want to attain respect and dignity in the eyes of the world. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, this is not something new when we talk about the issue of peer pressure. People are influenced, even if they are just visitors in one area, by the host culture. In Quran, in Surah Araf, ayat number 138, it's a very interesting example. We do not relate that to our situation, but it's a reality. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Bani Israel, the children of Israel. They had been oppressed by Fir'aun for a long, long time, to the extent of their first born child were being killed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam as a savior for them. And he came, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivered them from Fir'aun to the extent that they even crossed over the sea. They saw the miracles themselves, they felt the miracles, they were part of it, that process. But that what happens once they crossed over? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرِ. We carried the Bani Israel over the sea. فَعَتُوا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. The Bani Israel, in their journey, after crossing the sea, they came up within community who were actually cleaving to certain idols that they had. They were basically idol worshippers. And they looked at them, and they were amazed. And Bani Israel now turns to Musa alayhi salam, and they say, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى جَعْلَنَا إِلَٰهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَا. O Musa, we would like you to make an idol for us, like the way they have so many idols. A community which saw the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the community which did not only witness the miracles, they were part of that process when the sea was parted. They got the manna and salwa. They were tired of the heat of the sun. Allah says, okay, He commanded the clouds to move over them, go wherever they are going. All these things they had seen. Yet they looked at some another community. They said, oh, they have a booth. They have an idol. They are doing the puja, you know, idol worshiping. So amazing, beautiful. Why can't we do that? So they come to Musa and they say, why can't we have, you know, an idol like them? And this is where Musa, what could he say? قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. You really are ignorant people. He was a very angry person, Musa alayhi salam. But he didn't have words how to, you know, describe his own people. He says, you are ignorant people. And then, you know, the story goes on there. So this is Surah number 7, ayat 138. And this is where we are to realize, this is an example of a nation before Islam. But the stories are not only for storytelling. This is an example for us. We have moved to a non-Muslim society. We see certain things here. We look at other communities doing things. Oh, why can't we do that? And this is where we have to realize that, you know, adapting the customs and traditions of others, especially when those customs are connected to their religion, this not only shows our ignorance, it's actually a sign of our sense of inferiority. Inferiority complex, as if, you know, we are missing something. And so, you know, look at some of the things that we see in our marriage ceremonies. Total violation of Islamic laws. But oh, Maulana, this is norm. Our children interact with others. They have non-Muslim, you know, guests coming in. Well, if they are non-Muslim, they are coming into an Islamic, you know, wedding. Show them what is Islamic wedding. You don't go to a Christian wedding where they would change things for you. You don't go to the Hindu, you know, wedding where they would change things for you. Why should we always change our ways to appease others? Birthday parties, mashallah. And I'm not against it. We are not like Wahhabis who says don't celebrate your birthdays. But maintain the Islamic akhlaq. Don't ignore things. You know, if you're just having it with your immediate family members, it's one thing. But if you want to kiss your wife, Baba, there is bedroom there. There are things for bedroom which are not there for the public. Why can't we have that much of decency and not understand the concept of haya? Just because others are doing, we think we will become more civilized. Look at our nasheed. I'm not against it. But I have problem when I see these nasheed reciters. Especially if they get a big stage, they jump around up and down, just like the, you know, pop music singers. Nasheed is nothing new. Nasheed has been recited in the Arab Muslim culture for a long, long time. But there was no issue of jumping here and there the way it's done, imitating pop music, you know, singers. You know, keep our things in our own ways. A Shia center in the United States of America organizes Halloween party. And you ask them why? So that our children don't feel left out. Today is Halloween. Tomorrow there will be many more things. Why don't you make your own Islamic celebrations, viladats of their imams and the prophet? Eid, do it in a big way, where they would not feel deprived. That's the way you think about it. You know, left out. I don't see the, you know, Jewish children saying, why don't we have Christmas tree? I live in a neighborhood where we have, you know, Jewish people around, others also. But every family observes their own, you know, rituals. I don't see, you know, when it comes to the Hanukkah and the, you know, the torch that they have, it's only there in the Jewish homes. Why this inferiority complex that we have? You know, a question which has been asked many, many times in my visits to different, you know, cities as well as in Toronto. Maulana, can we have a Christmas tree in December? And there is a religious twist to it. After all, we believe in Isa ibn Maryam. We do Miladun Nabi. And I just ask you, didn't you believe in Isa ibn Maryam when you were in India or Africa or the Middle East? Or is this a new aqidah that you have about Isa ibn Maryam? How come you didn't observe his Christmas, his birthday, when you were there, only when you come here? You know, this is where we have to realize that we have our own identity, our own norms, our own traditions. And what we do is not only the aqidah, the action which actually identifies us. You know, we have this very clear message in the Quran in Surah Al-Kafirun, one of the short surahs at the end, where we say, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. We don't want to have conflict with others, but it is very clear to you, your religion, and to me, my religion. I respect you, you practice your own religion, I can't stop you, or I have nothing against it. But don't expect me to follow you, and I don't want you to celebrate Eid. You know, you do your things, I will do my own things. And this is where we have to realize that when it comes to peer pressure, all the generations have been very clear about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom and the courage to understand what is the reality and live up to that faith that we follow known as Islam and tashayyu of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi ajma'een. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. When we talk about this issue of blindly imitating others at the expense of losing our Islamic values, this is not going to give us izzat and respect. Yes, there is nothing wrong in adopting norms that are in line with Islamic values. There are many, many things that we can learn, even from the Western non-Muslim society. But as long as they are in line with Islamic values, there is no issue. And therefore, we have to be careful. There should be no blind following on this issue. In 1920s and 30s, there was an intellectual debate about the future of Egypt. This is where, you know, the first war started. Ottoman Empire and the Khilafat came to an end. And Egypt was, in a way, now looking for its own future and independence. And so there was a lot of debate among the thinkers of the time there. And this is basically one of the main themes of my thesis that I wrote on my master's program. And so there were extremes on both sides in Egypt. On the liberal side, you had a person by the name of Dr. Taha Hussein, a very prominent writer and thinker of that time. He has many good books also. But he was someone who was advocating total assimilation with the West if Egypt wants to progress. And the way he puts it, he says, and these are his words, "We must follow the path of the Europeans so as to be equals and partners in civilization, in its good and evil, in its sweetness and bitterness, in what can be loved or hated, and what can be praised or blamed." So it's a total blind following of the Western norms. And of course, it didn't work. You know, still Egypt is suffering. They have not attained the izzat that they were looking for. At the same time, you had Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, the founder of the modern Turkey. He is the one who abolished the Khilafat system and actually founded the new system on the basis of secularization, where Islam was totally suppressed to the extent that even the azan on the minarets were not in Arabic. They were all in Turkish. And the namaz, they said, if you want to do it in Turkish language. He forced his nation to adapt the script of Latin alphabets and not alif bata. So you can realize all of a sudden the Turkish people are being cut off. The next generation would not be able to read the history of the past. Not only that, even when it came to clothes, they were forced to adapt the European clothing. And when we complain about, you know, ban on hijab during our time in Quebec and before that in France, in public places, you have to realize that it was in Turkey, decades before that, where hijab was forbidden. And even when it was allowed, it was not allowed in the schools and universities. And so that was the level of, you know, total blind following. And Raza Shah, the father of the last Shah of the Pahlavi dynasty, also tried to imitate Atatürk in Iran, although he was not fully successful. But the idea was that he was following the example of Kemal Atatürk. And what was the purpose, especially for Turkey? The main issue is that we see geographically Turkey is divided into the European continent and the Asian continent. They felt this pride that we are part of Europe. All these changes were being made. Blind following of the Europeans was so that we can get recognition by the Europeans and they will consider us to be equals. It's almost now a century, close to that. And yet Turkey is not yet accepted as a member of the European Union. is where we need to realize, by changing your appearance, you're not going to become anything. You have to maintain your identity, your self-respect as a community, as a nation. And this is what brings me back to this ayat number 120 from Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the Prophet. Sometimes he addresses the Prophet singularly, but the message is actually for the Ummah, not for him. Where he says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتُهُمْ. That, O Muhammad, the Yahud and the Nasara are not going to be pleased ever. Lan is for perpetual negative. Never ever will the Yahud or Nasara be pleased with you, hatta tattabi'a millatuhum, until you follow their religion. So this blind following of appearance is not going to really help you. What happened to the Bosnians? If you go before the Bosnian War, if you visited that area, you would see that there was no much difference between Muslims and the Serbs, the Christians, and the Orthodox. They were all same in appearance, in their attitude. Drinking was very common. But what happened? When political situation goes down, when nationalism comes in, you will be targeted whether you wear European clothes or you wear your own clothes. What would you lose at the end? You lose your life, even though you followed their norms. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَرْضَى. They will never be pleased. So maintain your own, faith, your own identity, and be proud of it. قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهُ وَالْهُدَى. The ayat goes on to say that, O Muhammad, say to your people that the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guidance, nothing else. وَلَيْنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءُهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And if you follow their whims and their desires, after the knowledge which has come to you, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ, then you will find no master, guardian, or helper from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we see in the Muslim world is that's what is happening. Allah says, you are not with me. You're not loyal to me. And therefore, there will be no wali and nasir from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us understand this importance that, yes, we are in a different society where we have to maintain our values. Yes, we are not saying that, you don't change. Change is inevitable. But we have to see that the change has to be within the lines of our values and our faith. Allahumma salli ala sayyid al-mursaleen wa shafi al-mudhunibin nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وعمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. والأئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما حيا صار البدء والطغيان هادم يا أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فلو البغي والشقاق. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه، واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.